Mrs. Mitchell, room 3.
My husband was sent on a transport to Canada during the war from the Isle of Man, and the Canadians said they would take, to relieve the pressure here, take some of the internees. The trouble was that on that boat, the prisoners of war got treated damn sight better than the Jewish refugees. And particularly, my husband recalls some Orthodox Jews, probably from Poland, who got treated like dirt. And they really had a hell of a time there. Mm. But he was, in fact, released after a comparatively short time, but not without being stoned walking through the streets in Canada. Don't ask me exactly where. I could look it up, but I haven't got it at the tip of my tongue. And he had left Germany in 1937 because his parents were well-known, well-to-do family. Sent him to the Französerie Gymnasium, which was a very good school, which a lot of diplomats' children went to, and which also a lot of Jewish boys went to. The school itself was actually terribly decent, but Felix, my husband, was crazy about sport. And one of the things he always regretted was, for instance, in 1936, the Olympic Games, the boys from that school, who were very international, of course, because of their languages and stuff like that, were amongst the stewards at the Olympic Games, and of course they couldn't possibly. And most of the teachers were very sympathetic, except for one, their class teacher, a man called Elsässer. And Dr. Elsässer used to make the Jewish boys' life hell. So the parents of a dozen of these boys decided they would send them overseas. And that is why Felix went to Goldenstein. His father was a great friend of Kurt Hahn's, and in distantly related on his mother's side. Felix went into the army during the war. It's a long story. But at the end of the war, he was actually in the first British tank in Berlin, his hometown. He went D plus one with Queen's Royal Irish's, King's Royal Irish's Hussars, it was 8th King's Royal Irish's Hussars, it was then, it's now the 8th Hussars. And he talked about that regiment as though it was home. But it, obviously, some hairy situations. But when they got to Berlin, one of the things he did was to go and look at the old school, almost within the first week of being there. And the school had been badly bombed or damaged. And there was an old caretaker. And so Felix asked after, but by this time he was not Felix Mitchell, but Frank Ernest Jeffrey Mitchell, because they had changed their names, had to change their names when it went into fighting units in the English army.
What was his original German surname?
Felix Ernst Joachim Meyer. And so they had to keep the initials. And if you want to know how he arrived at Mitchell, because he had a cousin who was in the Black Watch, nowhere near him at the time, he's Montague. Unfortunately, he died many years ago. This one cousin changed to Montague, the other one went to the American Army and didn't change his name at all. And Mitch, Felix as he was known at that time, had to change, but keep the same initials. So the guy came down from the War Office the next day, they were told, and they had to find themselves new names with the same initials. So Felix went to the camp cinema that evening, just to know what to change his name to, and saw the first of the few. The story about the inventor of the Spitfire, played by Leslie Howard, who was called Mitchell. And that is why Frank Ernest Jeffrey Mitchell arose.
You were saying he went back to his old school, though?
He went back to his old school that day and asked the caretaker what had happened, the boys in his class, and asked what happened to Dr. Elsässer. That was the anti-Semitic teacher. Oh, before they left Germany, the little boy, Jewish boys gathered under the old oak tree in the yard, swore one day they'd come back and get Elsässer. And then they're scattered, wherever. And so he asked the caretaker what happened to Dr. Elsässer, and the old boy said, oh, he was killed very early on in the war, gallantly leading his troop in Poland, his troops in Poland. And he was very sorry, incidentally, about some of the other boys who died or got killed, because some of them were very nice fellows, and he got on them very well indeed. And just before he left, he gave this bloke some cigarettes, which of course were worth a gold mine in Berlin in those days. Asked the old boy again, you're sure Dr. Elsässer got killed? And this old boy said to him, do you want me to say it in German? I'll translate. Der Professor muss von seinen Schülern sehr geliebt sein. Also, da waren gestern schon zwei amerikanische Herren her, Offiziere her, die nach ihm gefragt haben. The professor must be much beloved amongst his people. We already had two American officers here yesterday. It's quite a story, which incidentally, that lovely regiment after Felix died published in toto, that story about the re-entry to Berlin, in their annual magazine. I'll show you later on. It's quite a remarkable story about the way that regiment behaved. But he was a very, very consciously aware of the debt he owed to this country. But we were always, had no bitterness. He was actually in security afterwards, after he left the tank regiment. And he, on the denazification and everything else, a very understanding man.
Presumably there was no question of your own family going back to Germany after the war.
I tell you, no question at all. Thank God by that time my father was working and all the rest of it. And after the war, there's no question about it at all. They had a hard time economically here, a really hard time. But then when Daddy started working and doing things that he'd done as a young apprentice, I think, when he was very, very young, and he was sold animal feedstuffs to the farms, it was reserved occupation, he wouldn't have in any case been eligible because he was quite old by this time. And with these two young kids and a wife and stuff to bring up. And as far as I'm concerned, I couldn't have faced them. In fact, I remember being very, very resentful at the time when my parents went back to Germany to start the restitution business. And obviously I felt very much at home, particularly my father. And I said to my father, how could you fill it out with these bastards? And Daddy said, darling, I spent my life, my family, it was my home. And I swore I would never go. And indeed, I didn't go until about time. My parents went several times and had people there who worked very hard to get restitution for them. And I'm glad to say they did, because it obviously made my father's last years and my mother's years a downside easier than they would have been otherwise. I'm not saying they got everything back, of course not, but those German pensions, as it was treated as a pension, of course, apart. I don't think they paid capital back per se. I think they put him on a pension. And I think the pension was along the lines of the most senior civil servant as a very successful businessman. I mean, my uncle was a very modest man. My father was too, by the way. Got a civil service pension. As you know, in Germany, you paid to your synagogue, what they call Kirchensteuer, church tax. So my father could never understand why synagogues were struggling here. Why didn't they introduce church tax? And that was the basic, you see. But people like my father who could afford it spent a lot more than that because there were people already in need. And so a lot of people were helpful, and they really only saw the people who were helpful. In other words, they knew who had been anti-Semitic and hadn't. They knew that before they left Germany anyway. And so I must say that on one occasion, after my father died, I think it was 1956, my mother felt she had to go over there, and we didn't want her to go on her own. And my brother and my husband, both of them, of course, I spoke perfect German. I didn't, by the way. Were working and couldn't really spare the time. My sister-in-law was, I think, on the horizon. Yes, she was on the horizon then. Yes, of course. Didn't speak German. So I was the obvious candidate. And I made myself quite ill before I went, because I really didn't want to go. But in actual fact, the hotel, which was the nicest hotel in town, or whatever, I can't even remember what it's called now. And everybody was very, very nice. And we only saw the people that Mummy had to deal with. Of course I went to visit, look at the outside of where I used to live. And of course it's amazing when you go back to a place, the distances are so different. You know, I mean, to me that walk from home to school was quite a long walk. Probably was not more than 15 minutes. But I mean, it seemed a long walk. And they had, I don't know that by that time they'd rebuilt the synagogue. They have now. And but then I remember also being in a delicatessen shop with my mother, in the sort of nice, fancy delicatessen shop. And of course, the one thing that doesn't change in one's life, include me in, is one's taste. I still like that food. And that will never change. I can tell you now. I mean, I'm 16. I'm 66, and I loved it. And so we were in this deli, and suddenly my mother goes white and walks out. And I follow her dutifully, and I said, "What's up?" She said, "Remember that woman? She was such a pig. She pelted stones, or she did this, that, and the woman behind the counter." But really and truly, that was the only encounter that we had. I knew Mummy was upset about it, but I was not sorry to leave, and I really didn't see very much. I do remember somewhere else. There was round the corner from us, there was a very nice chemist, and they're also specialized in photographic equipment and developing films and stuff like that. Two brothers, they were called Bischoff. And my mother, when we went walking to our old house, and said, and I remember hearing about the Bischoff, not only that, before they sold the main part of the house, my mother, as a present to my father or something like that, got the Bischoffs in to take photographs of every room. My brother's got those photographs. So it's a memento. You know, in other words, every room was photographed from various angles. And it was one of the Bischoff brothers who did it. And so Mummy said to me, say it was 1956, let's go around and see the Bischoffs. So we went in there, and Mummy had been in there before, when she and Daddy were over there. And walked in, and I think only one of the Bischoffs was in the shop. By this time they were old men. And when they looked at me, and he sort of clutched his bra, said, "Das kleine Äffchen, little Eva." I mean, I was the height and breadth that I am now. So, I mean, you know, they did remember, and they were very nice people. So, as I say, the tradesmen were all terribly nice people, actually. And I think behaved very well indeed.